Well, good morning, everybody. It's really great to be here this morning. It's our baptismal service, and in many ways we want to call it a baptismal party because it's a great celebration. It's a celebration of new birth. But what Moby and Tom and Vicky are going to do this morning is to declare that they've been born again of the Spirit of God, and they're going to declare that they want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ from now on. So it's great that you're here to be a part of that and to witness that. Special welcome to their family and friends. Some have travelled down from a long way to be with us, I know. So it's great to have you with us. What we're going to be doing throughout this morning's service is hearing the testimonies of Moby, Tom and Vicky. And a testimony is simply something that is true and something that is true about you. And each one of these three baptismal candidates have something true to tell about themselves, the day they came to trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll be hearing from them. They've also chosen a few songs each as well, so we'll have some good singing this morning. And also we'll hear from God's word about what baptism is really all about. There's a lot of misunderstandings about baptism, so we want to try and clarify what baptism really is and why we baptize as we baptize with full immersion. Now, when we sing that song about there being an old happy day, that doesn't mean to say that we ignore that many days of our lives are actually sometimes very sad and very tough and hard days. But for the Christian, the eternal reality is that because of a day in their life when Jesus Christ came and saved them, therefore they have many happy days. And throughout the whole of eternity, it will be one blessing after another. Now, Moby is going to come up and give us her testimony. She's going to tell us about some things that have happened in her life and also how God has saved her. So come and join me up here, Moby. She's very nervous. Okay. Good. Is the microphone the right height? Yeah. Okay. So slowly and clearly, and let's hear what God has done for you.
My journey with God. Being the youngest in a family of nine children, and I was born at a special time. No wonder why my parents called me more blessings. It was a time of healing for our family from the loss and trauma of losing a young child. 4 years before I was born, my family had experienced death in the family for the first time. It was a sudden death of my older sister, Deborah, who died of measles when she was 8 months old. God had taken and had given again. I can see why there was a lot of celebrating when I was born. It was a year of prosperity, not only for my family, but for our country too, which was celebrating Independence Day. I grew up in Zimbabwe in a beautiful town and city called Bulawayo, City of Kings. This was once a British colony called Southern Rhodesia. It was like living in Britain, in the sunny and breathtaking city in Africa. In my early childhood, I remember being well-spoiled and just being allowed to be myself. My parents brought their first car. We moved houses from township to the beautiful suburb areas in Montrose. My older sister Eve got married, and a year later, my nephew Bobby was born. Then my niece Charlotte. Then after that, my sisters and brothers got married. There were more nieces and nephews again. This rather marked the beginning of a new journey, as I believe the Lord blessed my family. It appeared, as it is written in the scriptures, given beauty for ashes, gladness for mourning, and a garment of praise over a garment of heaviness. Yeah, I could see why Mommy was very thankful and prayerful. I remember observing her in those moments when she prayed. I definitely did not understand why she would cry out to God, but I'll say I grew up to experience answered prayer. And I was aware of God's hand, that's grace, over our family, and I had not envisaged a time like this whereby I would reflect on who I am and reflect on God's favor upon me and my family. In Africa, it is not uncommon to have extended family. However, I was privileged to have been brought up with extended family, but the one I valued even more was my Christian family. I, growing up, was going to church called CCAP, that was Church of Central African Presbyterian, and my parents had me baptized when I was a baby. I enjoyed Sunday school and mixed up with other children, learning different languages. It is so early for me to enter into that inner childhood when I am assisting in children's play group, Rascals, mini church, and on Sundays, and singing at the Newland House at the old people's home. It brings back loads of memories, like when I had to stand up in front of the congregation to recite Bible verses we had learned and also sang songs and performed the birth of Jesus. At one point, I thought Jesus was my brother, as my mom's name was Mary. Other children made fun of this and questioned why my dad was called Jephthah. I still did not understand, but felt strongly connected to this little baby called Jesus. As I grew older, I was drawn to music, which led me to join the church choir, family choir, the youth club. I always wanted to lead the worship songs. This led me to join. Then joined the youth club when I was in my teens. I would stay behind after the church service, and it appeared as if we were worshiping God all day on Sundays. It was not long before my nieces and nephews also joined the youth club. We're impacted by the stories of Jesus and other people's testimonies of what Jesus was doing in their lives. The youth club was always fun, and I always looked forward to seeing other youths on Sundays. We'd try and be relevant by mixing and changing gospel music in different ways. For example, R&B, hip-hop, and rapping spice things up. This was more of an outreach strategy to reach out to the other young people and have fun in church. As I participated in this, I felt that I wanted to praise God and show people that He is the Alpha and Omega and deserve my praise for what He was doing. It was during after my brother and sister had come to the UK that I had an opportunity of a lifetime. I never ever imagined that this was God's purpose and will in fulfilling my dream. I came to the UK 2001 with my parents for my brother's wedding, not knowing that a year later, our Heavenly Father was planning to connect my best mate and husband, Paul. Gosh, he must have been praying too. Now I'm so blessed, and in the midst of my losses, death of my mom a month before my wedding, my mother-in-law, and recent loss of my father, I'm so comforted by the love of our Heavenly Father, His Son, Holy Spirit, and all the divine connects He has brought to me. I'm thankful for my church family in Hook, Pastor Paul Peace, Rosie Peace, and the small groups, and other people who helped me in everything that I needed, for their support and prayer, and times I can truly say that our God is a great big God, and He is forever faithful to His word. Today, I decide on my free will to be baptized despite being baptized as a baby, which I think was my parents' decision. This symbolizes the beginning of another new chapter. Him alone meant we would reach out to the youth and make it relevant for them. All we were doing was having fun for God. When I came in the UK 2001, I missed home because I used to go to a church. When I came in the UK, I missed home because I was used to a church life, not a busy life of working on a Sunday. It became too difficult for me as I was starting to fall away from my Lord and not reading my Bible anymore. Things never went well, as the churches I went were full of old people. And what you would do sometimes, sleep in the service as I was tired. I would sleep in the service as I was tired from a busy week of work. Things never went right until I realized one thing was missing. God was not put first anymore. In my life, and the death of my mom from kidney cancer made me realize that the only hope I can turn to is God. I then moved to the Surbiton area, where I got a leaflet to say there was a church 5 minutes walk, and I thought, let me try again. As my mom always said, any church you go, there is God. So I came to the Hook Church in 2006, and I realized that it was the place I was missing, which was the same as home, and meant a lot, and met lots of different nice people. And I got to singing with Ross and Owen, and I was like, that's us, Christ. I have come back to you, and trust me, with Jesus, everything goes well, unlike without him. Knowing Jesus was the best thing I have ever known. I thank God for giving me a lovely husband, for believing in me, and encouraged me to go to church. Without him seeing the leaflet and walking me to Hook Church, I wouldn't be here saying this to everyone. And I also thank God for blessing me with the lovely in-laws and the lovely sister-in-law, and most of all, my babies he has given me, Bradley and Amelia. And thank you to my family for protecting me, keeping me as the last born in the family, not wanting me to know all the bad things. And all I can say is, knowing Jesus is the best thing you can never have, and you never lack with him. Thank you.
Well, our second baptismal candidate is Tom Faulkner, and Tom is going to come and join me up here now and give his testimony as well. Hey, Tom, shall I raise this a little bit?
Not nervous at all.
No? Calm, breathe. Yeah, okay, let's go.
Yeah, I'm Tom. I'm 17, although I managed to write 16 on my paper. My parents are John and Julie, members of the church, so I was born and raised in Hook and in a Christian household. So most of you can probably remember holding me when I was a baby here. But of course, just because I grew up in a Christian home doesn't mean I was a Christian. While at church, youth groups, Spectrum and Discovery, I was a know-it-all, answering every question and being sort of good, but never really believing it. A number of times I've heard sermons by Paul and Brian Edwards and amazing talks from the Hook youth leaders, and I felt so compelled by them that I immediately turned to Christ until Monday morning, when I returned to the old ways of ignoring God and being more interested in the world. Even when I attended Contagious, a Christian camp, for the first time, and could have sworn I felt the presence of God during a song, the feeling of closeness didn't last, and I went astray again. But recently, God has humbled me and shown me that I really can't do anything on my own, especially not my exams. He's taught me that everything is in his control and that I really need to trust in him. And yeah. Also, publicly declaring my faith and trying to live for God will help me when I'm teaching the youth group for 4 to 5-year-olds that I help in, called Rainbows. So I'm not just telling them to do something and then doing something completely different on my public, in my own life. Yeah, this is really short, sorry. Yeah, just because I'm being baptized doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect and I will still fail in my faith. But it's up to someone out there, you guys, to tell me to go back to doing it right. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to hear a song that I mentioned before, that when I first thought I felt the presence of God. And it's a really cool song, so listen to it. Enjoy.
Okay, well, let's pray for Tom. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Tom's testimony and for the song that backs that up. When he feels that he's falling and fading, yet he is still yours. Thank you for his honesty in the way that he could say that as a young person in the youth group, he thought that he knew you, but now he really does. And we pray, O Lord, that you would keep him and hold him in your hand. Pray that when he feels his faith is failing, when he feels that he is falling, that he might know the strong grip of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help him, we pray, with all that is in his near future and in the decisions he needs to make about his long-term future. May he do all for the glory of your name. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, Vicky's going to come and give her testimony now. Vicky was the one that started this whole process of this baptismal service today rolling. Before Christmas, Vicky came up and asked me about being baptized. And because we're a church that moves really quickly, here we are, the end of April. And Vicky's ready for baptism. But the very fact that you're prepared to wait for so long after asking shows how serious you are about this. And that's brilliant. We ask many of our young people before they're baptized. Some come up and say, can I be baptized? And we have a little group here called Young Disciples. And that can sometimes be a three-year course for young people. And then we say, after that, you've known a lot now about baptism, what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's a good time to be baptized. And Vicky has done Young Disciples, and so here she is to give her testimony.
Thank you. Okay. I was born into a Christian family, and throughout my childhood, I grew up attending Sunday school in three different countries, South Africa, Portugal, and then for the last 10 years, I've been here at Hook. I have always loved listening to Bible stories. It always fascinated me that there was such an amazing, powerful, and awesome God. But all this was just like an amazing storybook, and I just love the main character. Memorizing Bible verses and engaging in those interesting topics were always fun, but as I grew older, I became curious about the book of Revelation. Okay, so most people start reading the Bible in Genesis and then maybe move on to Matthew, Luke, and John. But I started in Revelation. Reading this book confused me a lot, as you would probably expect, and I wanted more answers. So I prayed about it and asked God to help me understand his word. Year 6 was a challenging year, and I would find myself questioning friendships and God. Did he exist? And if he did, why was I going through these challenges? I remember Nicole playing a song called The Voice of Truth, and the words sank so deep into my heart. They go something like this. To step out of my comfort zone into the realms of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand. This made me feel comforted and reminded me that I could step out of my comfort zone, not by my own strength, but by God's help only. There is a psalm I always read, Psalm 27, verse 14. Mom and I would always say this verse to each other every morning on the way to school. It gave me the strength I needed for the day. One evening in 2009, Mom and I were sitting reading Psalms, and I asked her to pray with me. I wanted Jesus in my life, and that night I accepted him as my Savior. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit like never before, and it was warm and a lovely feeling. After this, everything just started to click. It came to me how amazing my life truly is. The Lord has blessed me with so much. He's blessed me with loving parents that sacrifice so much time and energy so that I may live my life to the fullest. A brother who has protected me and looked after me, and a loving big sister who's always been there for me and never fails to make me smile. I've also been blessed with another sister who is so supportive, and of course, my big Hook family. God has provided so abundantly for me and my family, and it never fails to amaze me. And if this is not enough, I have been surrounded by such dedicated and loving youth leaders who have helped me grow in my faith and supported me in so many different ways. I have learned to take everything to the Lord in prayer, even the smallest things. The Lord always answers my prayers. Sometimes it's not the answer I'm looking for, but I've come to understand and accept that it's what he wants for me. Sometime last year, during a sermon by Pastor Paul, I was touched by the simplicity of Christ's love for me. I came to realize that even though I sin and fail every day, he loves me. God sent his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and pay for my sins. He didn't stay on the cross, though. He rose, and he's alive now. I know that I don't have to do anything special to win him over, because he loves me unconditionally. So today, I will be baptized to fulfill God's promise that all who believe and are baptized will be saved. He is my one and only Savior, and without him, I am nothing. I hope that by God's grace, I will continue to be his instrument and convey his love to all those around me through the things I do and I say. If God asks me to run that extra mile with him, I can now confidently say, yes, I will.
Yeah. That was great. Really good. Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Vicky. In that testimony, Vicky mentioned a song, and now her big sister that she mentioned as well, flying in from Cyprus, is going to sing that song to us. Thank you. Well, let's pray for Vicky. Let's pray. Once again, Lord, we give you thanks for such a clear testimony. And thank you that Vicky was able to think about the way that you've worked in her life so wonderfully. Thank you for all those that she's mentioned who's had input to her life in many different ways at many different times. And thank you that through all those different people you have spoken the voice of truth. And we thank you for that. We pray for Vicky that you would bless her and keep her this day. And we pray for her future as well, that you would watch over her and guide her. Pray that always, Lord, when she feels those waves are crashing around her, when she feels that the giants are too strong for her, we pray that she might realize that it is you that is keeping her. And thank you that you will do that through her future. Lead and direct her paths as she trusts in you with all her heart, we pray. And we commit her to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's great that we've been able to hear these testimonies this morning and hear the story of what God has done for the lives of Moby and Tom and Vicky. And each one of them has their unique story to tell, and yet also there is that uniting factor that each one of them has come at some point to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 that when we are become his disciples, we're to be baptized to show other people that we believe in him. Now, there's a lot of misunderstandings about baptism. Different churches do it in different way. And throughout history, people have done it in different ways as well. What is baptism? What does it really mean? What does it stand for? Sometimes people have superstitious views about the water that's used. It's just ordinary water. It'll go out the plug hole and you'll use it again someday. Some people have questions about the age of the person being baptized. Should it be an infant? Should it be an adult? We read the scriptures that Jesus said, believe and be baptized. So as soon as someone can believe, then they can be baptized. And there are superstitions about what happens to that person if they're not baptized. Well, it's good then just to clear up what baptism really is and what it isn't. We haven't had a baptismal service for 10 months now. So it's good for us and about time for us just to restate what is familiar to most of us and what will be new to many of us. So we can sum baptism up in three words. First word we can use is simply this, symbol. Baptism is a symbol. Now, we use symbols every day, all the time, in so many different places. We use symbols for different kinds of reasons. We use symbols to communicate feelings. Take your pick as to how you're feeling now. We see symbols as well when they want to advertise different brands for us to buy. We also have symbols which are in everyday usage. Hope the drivers know these ones. And all these symbols, they stand for something more than they actually are. So these represent something greater. The reality is always greater than the symbol. Sometimes there are symbols which are for fun. I'm sure that's someone dressed up as a polar bear. But a symbol, as we said, is always a picture, a mark, that is used instead of words. And if you understand the symbol, then you understand the words or what it's actually representing to us. And the symbols represent ideas, thoughts, and reality, and the reality is always greater than the symbol. And that's true for baptism as well. Baptism is simply a symbol. It's an action that when we baptize someone, they go straight down into the water. They are then covered by the water. And then if we feel good about them, we bring them back up out of the water. And the picture that that shows is of dying, being buried, and rising again. So it's a great symbolic picture. What have they died to, and what are they rising again to? Well, the scripture says this in Romans chapter 6. For we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So Jesus died upon a cross to save us from our sins. For 3 days he was in the grave. But on the third day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he came out of that grave in newness of life. He died to the life that he lived before, an earthly life, and now he began his heavenly resurrection life for a while still upon earth before he ascended upon high. And when someone is baptized, they show that they're identifying themselves with Jesus Christ. That just as he died and rose again, so when someone becomes a Christian, they die to their sin, they die to their old way of life. And they rise again to a brand new life. The old has gone. The new has come. Because that person has become a new creation by their new birth in Jesus Christ. So baptism is a symbol of that. How can you actually show someone that you've become a Christian? That work of God is internal to your soul. Your soul died to the old way. Your soul lives to the new way. How can you? You can try and explain it to someone. But how can you show it? You can show it through baptism. Moby, Tom, and Vicky have died to their old way of life, and now they rise again to live a brand new way of life. That's the first thing we can say about baptism. It's a symbol. Second thing we can say about baptism is that the substance that's used is water. You can depict death and resurrection without water, I know. We could just use a hole in the ground, which might hurt when you hit the bottom. Or you could even use just an open grave. So why use water for baptism? And as we've said, there's nothing special, magical about that water. As a pastor, I don't have special powers to bless the water, to change it into some kind of magical substance that will make someone perfect. It's not the point of the water. I wish I did have that power, but I don't. What does water represent? Well, drink for the thirsty, but also it represents cleansing. Cleansing. So your 10-year-old boy gets home from a muddy football game. What do you say? Straight into that bath, young man. And if it's anything like me, he would go in with the boots on, with the football kit on and everything. You want them cleaned up. Or you've been out and about, you've been working up in the city, or you've been, worse, shopping up at the city. And you feel dirty, you feel grimy because of the trains and the underground, the buses, you've come home. And what's one of the first things you do? You wash. You cleanse yourself with water. Or you're about to prepare some food. Well, good practice in hygiene is you wash, first of all. You cleanse. Water is a symbol of cleansing. And that's what baptism is a symbol of. We use the substance of water to show that our souls have been cleansed. Now, this thing called sin pollutes us. It makes our souls dirty and unclean. And the only person who can ever cleanse our soul is God alone. And one of the promises by the ancient prophet Ezekiel was this. God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And that's the promise of Almighty God to all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that their soul will be cleansed of sin. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And when Jesus died upon the cross and shed his precious blood for whoever will believe in him, then that is a symbol that your soul can be cleansed from sin. So baptism is a symbol of dying and rising again. The substance also symbolizes cleansing. Thirdly, and finally, baptism can be called a sacrament. Now, when we use this word sacrament, it sounds really medieval, stuff of spy mystery novels from the Middle Ages, the stuff of castles, knights, templars, mysteries, secrets. Sacrament, what's it mean? Because is it the stuff of Camelot and King Arthur, the pursuit of the Holy Grail? Is it from the Middle Ages? What does a sacrament actually mean? Well, actually, this word sacrament or sacramentum was used way before the Middle Ages. It was used in the first century. And it was used by the Romans when they were in charge of the then known world. They were the Roman world power, the world power. And Augustus Caesar was the emperor of Rome and the emperor of the world. And Augustus Caesar demanded that all his army, every Roman legionnaire, would take a sacramentum to proclaim their allegiance to him as the king of the world. So the sacramentum was a solemn oath. It was a pledge of unwavering loyalty and faithfulness to Caesar. It was a military oath which was taken by everyone who became a Roman soldier, and it was renewed every year on the 3rd of January. I don't know why the 3rd of January, must be some significance in that. But the 3rd of January, every year, the thousands and thousands of men in that Roman army would renew their vow to Caesar. They would make their sacramentum once again that I will follow Caesar and I will obey Caesar. I will fight for Caesar. I will die for Caesar. That was their sacrament. The approximate wording has been found. This is what they said on that 3rd of January. In the name of Jupiter, Optimus, Maximus, and Mars, and by the majesty of Emperor Caesar Augustus Pontifex Maximus, I say this oath, not to retreat or desert from the army before the completion of my service, and each and every one of us obey orders and follow the standards. Now, can you imagine 1,000 Roman soldiers, 10,000 Roman soldiers saying that at the same time with their right hand raised, all in a line on the 3rd of January? That would have been really powerful. And that's what a sacrament is. It is a pledge of allegiance. The church has two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And every time we take the Lord's Supper, we are showing our allegiance to Jesus. And when somebody is being baptized, what are they doing? For the first time, they are showing their allegiance to Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus said and demanded. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That is a massive demand. Do not think of the Lord Jesus Christ as pocket-sized, just as someone who you can put into a box here in a church hall on a Sunday and then go out and live as you like if you're following him. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he has all the rights over us that we can ever imagine. We talk about our rights. I've got a right for this. I've got a right for that. I've got a right for whatever. Do you know the right that God has over you? All power, all authority. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, then this is what you must do. Come after me. Deny yourself and your ways and your will. Take up your cross and follow me. The truth about someone carrying their cross in that first century is this. They were only going one way. They were going to their death. And Jesus says, you show, come, live, die. Follow me. And this is what baptism is all about. It's about a death in one way. I've died to myself. I'm rising again for Christ. My soul has been cleansed. And from this day on, I give my allegiance, my solemn pledge, my sacramentum to follow Jesus Christ. And Moby and Tom and Vicky are declaring that to you today. The symbol, the picture of cleansing, and the pledge to follow Jesus. What about you? Who are you following? Who do you pledge your allegiance to? Will that person give you the forgiveness of sins and eternal life? Only Jesus Christ can do that, and that's why he and he alone is worth following. And maybe you want to think about that really seriously. What will it mean for you this morning to follow Jesus Christ? Don't let that question pass by. Just keep it deep within your heart. What are you doing about this Lord Jesus Christ? And I leave that with you as a challenge. Moby, Tom, and Vicky, and hundreds of others of us have made that decision. From now on, I follow Jesus. Will you?